Lord gave me a very simple burden to share for this morning. It's titled, Run That Ye May Obtain. You will turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. Before we begin our reading, the Boston Marathon, I know it was in the news a couple of years ago with the bombing that took place at the Boston Marathon. I want to give you a little information. The Boston Marathon is a race that is a little bit over 26 miles long. And some of the statistics I looked up show there's been about 30,000 people enroll in that race the last few years, give or take a few thousand. And a couple years ago, some of the stats I was looking at, 30,000 had registered. And 10% of them never ran. They never even started. They had registered, they'd enrolled, but they never ran. And the big question, as with other big races such as that, is that who's going to win the prize money? There is over $800,000 given out of prize money at that race. The winner gets at least, I think a year or so ago, it was $150,000 if you won that race. It almost makes me start thinking about the Boston Marathon. But I would probably might be one of those people that registered and didn't run. You know, I wonder what went through the minds of those people, though. I wonder if they looked at the prize and thought, I'd like to win. And I wonder if they signed up, but I wonder what prevented them from even running. Because they didn't even try. They signed up. Prize looked good. Maybe they thought they could raise some money for a charity or something. I don't know. But they never even got started. They never even ran. Winning and losing this morning depends on the individual runner. Do you know that? It was up to those individuals that had enrolled in the race that didn't even start. And in that race, there was only one winner. But do you know each one of us has an individual Christian race to run this morning? I can't run it for you, and you can't run it for me. But I don't want to be one of those people that looks at the prize and says it looks good, and then doesn't even come to the start line. Well, I think it would behoove us then, as we're thinking about running this morning, you know, the Apostle Paul knew about the Christian race. And if you're going to run a race, you're going to do something, it's wise to talk to someone that's done it before. One of the things that has stood out to me even as a young teenager, I remember someone that did dirt bike racing. He was good. But I remember him saying there were times that there were close quarters, he would actually let someone pass him to watch how they would navigate something to see if it worked for them and see what they did. And if it didn't work, he wouldn't do it. And if it worked, he'd follow their example in going between certain trees and certain things that took a special way to do it. And he'd actually let someone get ahead of him and watch how they did it. It is wise this morning in running the Christian race to look around and talk to those that have done it and been successful, that the Lord has blessed their lives. Because those are the kinds of people we want to take counsel from. Well, Paul ran a pretty good race, didn't he? Paul was not without his weaknesses. The disciples all had their weaknesses. We could spend a service just talking about their humanity and their weaknesses, just like we have them. But he ran a good race. He ran a good race. So I'd like to share this morning, by the help of the Lord, what Paul talked about in his counsel about this race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll begin reading with verse 24. He said, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now Paul was alluding to the games where they would run and one person would win. But you know, in the Christian race that we are competing for a prize, but more than just one of us can win. And I think it's important for us to be reminded this morning that we are not in competition with each other. Well, if I can be a little bit more spiritual than this one, or I be a little more spiritual than that one. Folks, we are not in competition with one another. And it is not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves or measure ourselves by ourselves. We have a race to run, and if God is blessing your life, I want to watch it and observe it and learn from it. But I have my own race to run, and your successes and your failures should not make a difference in my successes and failures. And if I fail the Lord and I fail by the wayside, God forbid that I do. But if I fell away from the Lord, folks, and lost out, that in no way needs to prevent you from running your Christian race and gaining the prize. There's a prize for all of us. In that temporal race, there's one winner. But in the Christian race, Paul said this way in 2 Timothy, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In other words, a course, I think of a course as not just being a straight shot. That's just what comes to my mind. I don't think about being on a paved track and all a smooth sailing and just running straight forward. But it means, a course means there's going to be some obstacles in the way. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only. In other words, I'm not the only winner in this thing, but to all them that love His appearing. I want to encourage us this morning, as Paul did, run that you may obtain. There is a race that we are running. We can all obtain the crown. But folks, if we start out with a losing attitude, most likely we're not going to finish the race. I told you the Boston Marathon, 10% didn't even start. They knew the prize. They knew what was there, and they maybe had reasons to sign up, but the reasons did not carry them through to actually getting started. And they didn't even show up, as far as I know. Didn't run. You know, there are people that know what God expects of them, and they know about heaven, and they know about hell, and they'll agree with you, and they can talk the talk, but they're not living the life. Folks, let's not be part of that number, but let's run that we may obtain. My knowledge of heaven's not going to get me the prize. But it's going to be on the daily decisions that I'm making, the effort that I'm putting forward with a goal in mind. Well, there are a lot of people that have this attitude and get a mentality that I can't do it. Maybe all of us have been guilty of that in something. I can't do it. Maybe it was in something temporal, a job that you had to do, something that you needed to fix, and you think, I can't do it. Do you know, at school, you children, I want to encourage you, don't ever say, I can't do it. Because it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have a mentality that I can't do it, you're not going to have the openness of mind and the energy to take the counsel and advice and guidance and put forth the effort to be able to do it. But there are too many, even in spiritual things, we look at sometimes the hurdles in our life and we say, I can't do it. But folks, Paul learned a valuable lesson as well. He said, I can do what? All things through what? Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Folks, if there are some hindrances in your personal spiritual life, maybe they've been there for years, and it just seems like, I just can't do it, and I'll just have to settle for this. Folks, that kind of mentality will keep us from gaining spiritual ground. That mentality that, well, it's never going to change, it won't change with that kind of attitude. We're not talking about the art of positive thinking this morning. We're talking about placing our faith in God. I can do it, not in my own ability. I can recognize I can't do it by myself, but through Christ I can do all things. If there's an obstacle in your course of life, it means God knows it. And it means that when you get up to the, like a, what do they call it, pole vaulting? You get up to one of those big hurdles and you can't jump over, folks, there, God has a pole for you to use somewhere. But if you look at that and say, there's no way I can jump over, the Lord's saying, use the pole. You can do all things regardless of the difficulty, whether it's physical, financial, temporal, maybe the way that you're wired, your DNA, your genetic predispositions. You say, there's no way I can overcome this. Folks, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We can do all things that are necessary. And if it can't be done, then it wasn't supposed to be done. Amen? But everything spiritual, the victories, the growth, I may not get there overnight. I may not get there overnight, and the reality is we don't. But Lord, I'm on my course. And I'm going to be a step further tomorrow than I am today, and I can do that by the grace of God. Run that you may obtain with a positive outlook and faith in Jesus Christ, not an attitude of pride. Folks, that'll trip us up quick. When we begin to get this attitude and spirit of pride and confidence and I've been around a while and I've been around the block and I can handle anything that comes my way and I'm, folks, we're setting ourselves up for some failure when we do that. And I imagine probably all of us have been there somewhere along the line too. But if we will keep our faith in Christ, humbly seeking Him, Lord, I'm going to run that I might obtain and win the prize. There's a prize ahead of us. Could we sing a verse of a song? Sister Lena, if you can lead just the chorus of God Says You're Gonna Make It. Do you know it? If God says it, you will. Put your faith in Him. Through the raging storm, don't worry about the thunder. You're not going under. How are we going to make it? There's Peter and the disciples. This is getting too rough. The Master was on board. Folks, when God says you're going to make it, you're going to make it. It's not looking at ourselves saying, well, can I manage this or can I handle this? No, the answer is no. I can't handle it, but I'm not by myself. By the grace and power of God, I'm going to run this race that I might obtain that prize, living with purpose. Folks, too many people have lost their purpose. They've lost their confidence. And I freely acknowledge, folks, that sometimes even in serving the Lord, many of us here have served the Lord for many years. And do you know, through time and circumstance and age, that sometimes we just need to stop for a moment and reevaluate our purpose. Why are we living like this? What am I doing? What am I working for? Because if we're not careful, we can just get in a rut, and what we're doing loses its meaning. And when life loses its meaning, we lose the impetus to move forward. We lose the spark. We lose the joy in the service of the Lord. Folks, we have a wonderful crown we're working for. There is a prize ahead of us, and I want to today run with that prize in mind that I might obtain, and so I want to live with purpose. Live with confidence in the Lord, whatever it takes. The Scripture talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, if something easily besets us, that doesn't mean it means it's not a rarity, in other words. There are things in all of our life that can beset us. But you know, if we're going to run a race, you want to get rid of excess weight. You want to lay aside. I don't want to go run in a race with a backpack on. I want to lay it aside because I want to be able to run as far as I can without stopping. I'm going to have to lay aside the weights. Saints, there are some things in life, it doesn't take the pastor going home with you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. But there are some things in our life that are very personal things that the Lord asks us to lay aside sometimes. And when the Lord asks us to lay things aside, it's not the time to start looking at our brothers and sisters and saying, well, they're doing it. What is that to thee? Do you want to obtain the crown? then lay aside the things that you know are hindering you, whether it's a hindrance to your brother or sister or not, I don't know. Maybe it is and maybe it's not. But if it's hindering me, then Lord, help me to lay it aside because I want to run that I might obtain. He went on to say, strive for the mastery. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Every man that striveth for the mastery, it says, is temperate. In other words, to strive, folks, means to endeavor and to put forth energy and sacrifice. Anything worth having takes hard work, doesn't it? You children want to get through school, you want to get through the day, you can't just sit there and meditate, biting on the end of your pencil. You've got to work. You've got to put the pencil to the paper, and you've got to do something and stay busy. But at the end of the day, it's like, I accomplished something. I reached my goal. I finished it for today. And tomorrow there's some more, but today I made it. Spiritually, folks, it's the same way. We're going to have to put forth some energy and effort. Things that are worth having normally don't just fall in our lap. It takes work and labor and sweat. There's a lot of people that say, oh, when I get an old age, I want to have some money laid aside. Well, if you want some money laid aside in retirement, you better start laying it aside as soon as you start working a job when you're young. In retirement, it's 40 years down the road. You want to have something laid aside, you start putting some aside, even if it's just a little bit. But you start putting it aside, folks, what do we do when the newness wears off? You know, new car, new house, those are fine. Those things are all right. But you know, eventually the newness wears off. Eventually the newness wears off. So you get rid of it when the newness wears off? I know there are some people that have the money to do it, but most of us don't. When the newness wears off, you still want to take care of it. You still want to do maintenance on it. What about the new wife and the new husband when you first got married? How is it after 25 years? That's about where we're at, 24, I guess. Getting close. What is it? You all have 50, was it? 57. That's not new anymore. You've had some for 57 years. That's not new anymore. But do you know that when you take care, it takes effort and it takes work, that the scripture says, enjoy the wife of thy youth. Take pleasure in the wife of thy youth. In other words, recognize I've got something valuable and I want to still provide the maintenance and take care of it. Folks, spiritually, it's the same way. Maybe you've been saved a while and it may not be new like it once was when you felt that those new feelings of peace and those new feelings of just this clearness before God. But folks, let's maintain it and run that we might obtain. And he said he is temperate in all things. Temperate means self-control. Now, self-control may not sound very spiritual. And a lot of people don't like thinking about self-control. But folks, it's a key to running that we might obtain. It's going to take some self-restraint. And self-restraint means it's not you restraining someone else. Right? It's not every time someone goes to open up the fridge, you slam it shut in their face because you're helping them out. That's not self-control. That's you trying to control someone else. Self-restraint and self-control is personally conquering your appetites. Folks, if we're going to run, the analogy again to the races, those that run a race, they're temperate. They control their appetites. They exercise discipline to exercise, to eat properly. Whether they feel like it or not, they get up and they exercise. Whether they feel like it or not, they say, okay, I need to eat this or not eat that because I want to eat what's good for me so I can run a little bit further or have a little bit more energy. Spiritually, folks, we need to have some more temperance. It seems like the mentality of this generation is do what feels good. Don't let anybody hold you back. Do what feels good and just live for the moment. But folks, I don't want to live for the moment. I want to live for tomorrow that I can gain the crown. And in doing that, we have life today, but it means I'm going to have some self-control. I can't do everything that comes to my mind. I can't do everything that feels good. I can't do everything that Michael wants to do because I have a bigger goal in mind. Lord, help me to keep the goal in mind. And when that's what temptation comes from, when I'm drawn to do this, I say, Lord, that's not good for me. I'm going to have some discipline here. Be moderate, temperate, balanced in all things. It's noteworthy that, and I'm talking here at home now, but it's interesting amongst even the saints sometimes that on certain issues you get these extremes. You know what I'm talking about? People have these extreme attitudes and they'll carry it as far as they can on one end. Someone else will carry it as far as they can on the other. Folks, as children of God, we need to be temperate. We need to be balanced. And balance does not mean being balanced with wrong things, but in living and in life, there's a place, there's a balance sometimes. It's not right or wrong. It's not sin and not sin. But just in living, God wants us to be a moderate people. Temperate and balanced. Exercising self-control. And it means also, this word means exercise abstinence. Which means there are some things that's not say, well, I'll just have a little bit. Maybe a little bit's bad for me, so I'm not going to have any at all. There are some things, folks, we need to cut out of our diets. And we're talking about food there spiritually. Spiritually, there are some things that we just need to cut out of our diet, even if everybody else seems to be eating on it, if it's going to hinder us in obtaining the prize. How we spend our time, the things that we do, folks, self-control. Run that ye may obtain. Temperance is vital, folks. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants to be the king of our life. And that means that even the things that we may not put under the spiritual category, do you know our being, our soul, mind, and body is an integral being, isn't it? You begin to not exercise self-control physically, do you know it has a way of making you feel bad spiritually? That's why we don't have a commandment, thou shalt walk this far every day, or thou shalt exercise this much every week. The Bible doesn't say that. But folks, in our life, we want to be sure that we're living a temperate life, a balanced life. And Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 6:12, he said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, I believe that applies to everything in our life. I'm not going to be brought under the power of it. And I just want to encourage all of us, especially you young people, as you're starting your life, making decisions for yourself sometimes, and you're kind of plotting your course, don't allow anything to take control or power of you. That's what an addiction is. I have to have it. I have to do it or else. God wants to be a king over all of your appetites. And it's going to take self-control. It's going to take temperance. But we can live in Christ Jesus this morning such that we are temperate. Jobs, family, how we spend our money. Do you know God's interested in all of those things? There's temperance that we need to exercise. There are some people that are so wrapped up in making money that they justify not spending time with their family ever because I'm bringing in a living. Think about the little boy that asked his father, someone told me this story in Africa recently, and I've read it over here too or heard of it, but about the little boy that asked his dad, how much money do you make? And his dad told him, he says, how much do you make an hour? And he went and he asked his dad, he said, can I have, $40 or however much he was making an hour? And he took that money, he said, here, Dad, can I have an hour of your time? Will you spend an hour with me? There are some things more important than money. But yet, on the other hand, it's a necessary evil, isn't it? We have to have money to live. So we need the Lord to help us all to have balance. time, family, church, service to God, charitable things, all of those things, the Lord wants to guide us and lead us. And remember, it's not about you controlling and dictating in someone else's life. It's self-control. It's temperance in our own life. Keeping our eyes on the prize. In verse 26, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, not as one that beats the air. When you're in a fight and you swing and you miss, what did it avail? This actually, the term means, when he said, I keep under my body, in the next verse, I'll just read it. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. In other words, I give him a black eye and get him on the ground and keep him down. That's what he's talking about. You know, there's some things we need to give a black eye in life. Now, I imagine there's a few people maybe in your life you would have wished you could have given a black eye. That's not what we're talking about. Spiritually, folks, there are some things that we need to give a black eye and bring under subjection in our life. He said here to make contact, making contact. In other words, I'm not just beating the air. And this is where it takes a lot of spiritual honesty, saints. Because sometimes we come up to places in our life that it seems like we're not getting victory. Have we been there? It seems like we're not quite getting over that that's in our way. Seems like we're not getting victory. And we can say, well, I need to try this or I need to do that. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to beat the air. And we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that's hindering me spiritually? And you know, when we bring those things under subjection to the Lord, many times it's in this area here, we'll start finding we have greater victory in a completely different area of our life. And we're just looking at this area saying, what do I need to do to get victory? But we need to say, Lord, I don't want to beat the air. What is it that the enemy is using in my life to hinder me spiritually? Do you see areas in your life where the enemy's working? Because if you can't, do you know that that's a dangerous thing? Because the enemy is working. So the Lord wants us to be aware of some of the influences and pressures and areas that we know the enemy's working, so then we would know how to fight and make contact with the enemy. I recognize there's a weakness maybe I have right here, and I know the enemy's working, then I'm going to recognize that, and I know where to fight then. I know where to hit. Because this is an area of weakness. Well, it's not about blaming other people and looking here and there, and it's about making contact in our personal life. Because I want to run that I may obtain. The last verse, he said, I keep under my body, folks. This is advice to all of us who are running the Christian life. I keep under my body. In other words, I hit him in the eye, trip him, and cause him to fall down. And when it says bring in subjection, it means to make a slave of. Paul was talking about his own body. Do you know in the Christian life that so often we can talk about people and situations, and we can even talk about the devil. But do you know, we are our own worst enemy many times, the flesh. And Paul said, you want to run to obtain, you're going to have to bring your body and make it a slave. Bring it into subjection. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. The scripture in Galatians 5:24 says, and all that are Christ have crucified the flesh. They crucified or put to death with the affections and lust. And do you know that what you crucify today, you're going to have to crucify tomorrow? Don't be discouraged, because you are still in the flesh. You are still human, but we're going to have to keep our body daily under subjection, lest where we have had a head knowledge, where we have preached to others, Paul said, that I myself should be cast away. I've had all this knowledge. I've had all this experience. Maybe I even started the race, but I don't want to be rejected from gaining the prize. I don't want to be cast away. But folks, the challenge I would like to leave us with this morning is we need to bring our body and our spirit into subjection. Unchecked, folks, this is where carnality comes from. Carnality is something of the flesh. And even after we are saved and we're serving the Lord and even have the Holy Spirit, you know, it doesn't mean that patience just always flows out of your mouth at every single situation. You've got to bring your body under subjection. And I believe this is one of the areas, if we are not careful, saints, that we can have a head knowledge of a lot of doctrines. But when it comes to just basic Christian living, it means daily I've got to bring my body under subjection. That my words would be full of grace. That I would have the patience that I should with my wife and my children and people in the workplace and people at school and your brothers and sisters and all of the people that we just live with. That we bring our bodies under subjection. That we check it. This is where unchecked, folks, an unchecked spirit is where you find anger and bitterness and uncontrolled words that hurt, but rather feelings and emotions are real for all of us. Feelings and emotions are real. But saints, our feelings and our emotions need to be brought under subjection to the Lord. Something can upset you in your spirit, but do you know that you can bring your body and spirit in subjection to God, that you can respond in stressful situations with kindness and humility and love and patience? And it's not that you're not upset, because feeling-wise, emotion-wise, it's upsetting. It's frustrating. It's not right. It's not just, or it's not fair, or it's not... Lord, help me to bring those emotions and feelings into subjection and die out to myself, because I want to run that I might obtain. I'd like to close with a little illustration. There was a little story, little fable about a dog who loved to chase other animals. And he bragged about his great running skills, and he said he could catch anything. It wasn't long before his boastful claims were put to the test by a rabbit. And that dog ran after that rabbit, and you know that rabbit got away. And all the other animals were kind of chuckling at the dog. Here, you said you were the fastest runner. And the dog excused himself, and this is what he said. He said, "You forget." He said, "I was only running for fun." He said, "However," he said, "the rabbit was running for his life." Folks, it makes a difference in how you approach the Christian race. I didn't start this race out for fun. There are pleasures in the race. I acknowledge there are spiritual pleasures. But I started this race with a purpose and determination. I want to make it to the end. If you will have that purpose and keep it, folks, the Lord is going to give you the grace and the strength. We'll follow some of this advice and counsel that Paul gave to us. We can make it. So let's run that we might obtain.